And the Bible says for those 3.5 years, while those two witnesses were preaching for 3.5 years, not three, by the way, and not 3.75. The reason it's 3.5 is because God wants to make it clearly distinct. He wants you to know, this is specific. And you can count on it, because I'm God and I don't fail and I don't lie. And so he says for 3.5 years, they're going to be on the run. That's when the middle of the tribulation hits. When the Antichrist breaks his covenant with Israel, and he starts pursuing the children of Israel, and those who had thought that he was the Messiah realize he's not. They're running for their lives. But the Bible says God prepares a place for them, and for 3.5 years, they are protected. But the word I want you to hone in on, and you might underline, is the word feed, that he should feed her. What is he feeding? Their faith. You need your faith fed now. Because you're going to face some tough stuff. You stick around long enough, there's going to be some hard road ahead. Life is transient. Sorrows come. Life gets tough sometimes. You need to feed your faith now. You've heard about the guy who thought, well, I like this Bible. It's like a little thing. I'll just open it up and find out what God has for me. And he put his finger on the Bible and he says, I'm going to see what God has for me. And it said, Judas went and hanged himself. And that didn't work for him, so he said, I don't know, I need some real help, God. I need some help. Please help me. And he did it again. I'll try again. And it says, go and do likewise. He did it a second time. It's getting a little dicey. He says, okay, God, one more time. I'm at my wit's end. What do I do? And he did it again. And he put his finger down and says, what thou do? Do as quickly. So he was just getting all the wrong. This is not a talisman. This is not a charm. Just because you have a Bible does not make you safe. You got to know it. And then you'll be able to stand up, you'll overcome all the power of the enemy. You got to know the book. Because God speaks through His Word. Now He's going to send him for 3.5 years into the wilderness, and He's going to feed him all through that. Verse 7 says, and there was war in heaven. So we saw the signs, we saw the speeches, now we're seeing the strife. War in heaven to cast out the devil. This is what God's doing. The Bible says in verse 7, it says there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels. We call them demons, but isn't it interesting? They are angels that have fallen, clearly set forth in the Scriptures. Now the name Michael's very cool. Michael's name means who is like God. Who is like God? That's what it means. And so God sends Michael out to take on the guy who said, I will be like God. That's what Isaiah tells us. Satan said in his heart, I will exalt my throne. I will be like the Most High. Who is like God? And the Bible says the war takes place. Other interesting facts. Verse 8 says the devil fought and prevailed not. Neither was their place found any more in heaven. What's that mean? That means the devil right now is coming and going in heaven. He's got access. You see it in Job chapter 1 where the sons of God came in and Satan was among them. God says, where have you been? I've been going to and fro throughout the earth. He said, have you considered my servant Job? So God's having a dialogue with him. We also see in this passage that when he goes into the presence of God in verse 10, in the middle of the verse it says, he is the accuser of the brother which accused us or them before our God day and night. That's what he does up there. He goes in and he points a finger at you and he says, you saw what they just did. You saw them and I have a right to mess with them. And sometimes God says, yeah, you do. The Bible says if you will deny him before men, he will deny you before his angels, which means he's going to take your hedge away. You think you're safe? Oh, I can do what I want. God says, no. You're on enemy ground. If you don't keep yourself cleaned up and sharp, the devil can have his way with you. The Bible says that over in Isaiah chapter 5, it says God takes away the hedge. And he'll take away your hedge. You got to stay right with God. You don't have to fear God. You have to fear what God will let the devil do if you keep walking in a way that is disregarding who he is. And the devil's up there constantly pleading for an opportunity to get at you. He's saying, can I? Please let me get him. Because that person is out of control. They're living sinfully. They're walking in disobedience. You owe it to me. And he's quoting God's law back to him. Now, thankfully, you may fall. But the righteous falls seven times and rises again, but the wicked will fall into mischief. If you're truly righteous, you're going to realize when you're reading your Bible, God will lead you into truth. And the Bible, the truth of the matter is that if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That quick. You just confess it. God, here, I did that. I fell. I'm sorry. Stay close to the shepherd. You don't have anything to worry about the wolf. But the Bible says that this great dragon was cast out. I love that. Verse 9 is a real big depiction of the devil. He's the great dragon which shows his wrath. The devil is like a moth to the flame. Ever amazed at, been amazed at the way moths fly right in, you know, close? They can't get, they just gotta, you know, they're like, ugh, intense. Gotta get closer, get more light, and they can burn themselves up. The devil's like that. If he could get at you, he would. The only reason you have any peace at all in your world is because God ordains it to be so. He said you can go this far and no further. And if you're getting some static in your heart, you just need to get on your face and say, God, if there's something between me and you, let me know. If you don't know anything against yourself, then, you know, like Paul said, you're not there and justified, but it's good. You know, do a little inventory. And the Bible even says if our hearts condemn us, God is greater than our hearts. So, you know, even if we do get nipped and nipped and nipped by the wolf, God is still for us. And if God be for us, who can be against us? He may nip you for a while, but when you get your mind around the fact that you've been making yourself vulnerable, God gives you the grace to access the promise and to get you out of every room in Doubting Castle. The Bible says He's the great dragon. He's the old serpent that talks about his guile and lies. He's called the devil. Diabolos means to cast through, meaning he's always accusing you. He's always condemning you. He's trying to circumvent you. The word adversary is in the name Satan, and he deceives the whole world. He's a deceiver. This is his resume. You want to know what you're up against? Just go to chapter 12, verse 9, and you got your resume. But the Bible says he is not omnipotent. In fact, he's rendered humiliated by Michael and his angels. Didn't take God. God didn't have to get up. And it's not equal and opposite forces. It's not God and the devil. It's God. And it's God. It's just, God is omnipotent. The devil's just some little mite in God's world. He allows him his sway and his way for a season because he will not have you love him by constraint. God will not circumvent your will. So he allows evil in the world that you may choose to love him. And when you choose to love him, you will find him to be faithful. You will find him to be altogether crazy about you. You are like the Shulamite to Solomon. You are like his bride. He cannot wait till we get together. The love note is, I'll see you in the morning and I can't wait. Beloved, that's our God. He is crazy about you. But we're like the bride who's getting a little tired of waiting on our spouse and we kind of go flirting with the world's stuff. Well, the Bible says in verse 10, I heard a loud voice in heaven saying, now is salvation come. And the Bible says in strength and the kingdom of God, and the kingdom of our God and the power of His Christ. I love that. Now is the power of our Christ come. You know, He was powerful when He calmed the seas. He was powerful when He raised the dead. He was powerful when He fed the 5,000, but you ain't seen nothing yet. Now has come the power of our God. And that's why it's called the revelation of Jesus Christ, by the way. This is not revelations. All that other stuff, details. Jesus is the center. You're looking at a portrait. Jesus is the centerpiece of it all. Verse 10 goes on to say, for the accuser of the brethren is cast down. I love it. The word cast down, cast down, cast down. It's almost like, nah, 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 you know, getting in his face. All the children chiding him. You've got nothing. You got nothing. And you're cast down. And the door is closed. Heaven's access is done. Our King is on the way. And the Bible says in verse 11, he accused the brethren and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. Folks, do not underestimate, do not understate, do not neglect to honor the blood of the Lamb. Jesus' blood for your sin. You get your mind around that, you got all you need to overcome the wicked one who will come to you and say, you're rotten, you're no good, you're a failure, you could never measure up. And you can just say, yes, amen, true, amen, it's true. I am rotten to my core. I am bent and broken. And I could never measure up. But my Lord Jesus paid my sin debt. He shed His blood. He imputed to me His righteousness. And I am glory bound. Now, folks, when the devil comes against you, if you don't know that telic principle, that central truth, you will be overwhelmed. This book illustrates those truths over and over again. God washes us with the water of the Word. And the Bible says they overcame them by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of their testimony. And it goes on to say, not only did they have a testimony that they believed in Jesus, but they had such faith that they loved not their lives to death. They were willing to die for their faith. Folks, listen, many of us aren't willing to live for our faith. They're willing to die. These guys were willing to say, step up, take my head, it's okay. We saw it in a running drama from the year 100 AD to the year 307, where the church was being persecuted. The Colosseum in Rome stands in ruins today, where they would take Christians and kill them. History itself has eclipsed the true story of the church with all of its drama and theatrics in the Roman church. All that stuff was just theatrics. That was not the church. We're going to find out who that was in chapter 17. But the real church was being killed all along the way. People have died for their faith in every generation. Go on a website called Voices of the Martyrs and read about stuff that's going on right now in our day. People are being killed in droves, but our news, it's Fox News, who doesn't report so we can decide, and also CNN. They won't tell you about the people who are being killed for their faith in China, Bosnia, Somalia, Russia, people, China. People get dead over there in these places, and we don't hear a peep about it in our world because they don't want you to know that Christianity is, it's open season on Christianity across the globe. I could tell you stories of things that are happening in our own United States right now that's incredible, and I don't want to digress. But it's out there, folks. The Bible says that they love not their lives unto death. Verse 12 says, therefore, rejoice ye heavens, and woe to the inhabitants of the earth. That's the dichotomy that is spawned by all of this. For the devil has come down, having great wrath, because he knoweth he hath but a short time. There again, we had 1260 days earlier for her to be fed. And here we have a short time. And in verse 13 it says, the dragon saw that he was cast to the earth, and he persecuted the woman which brought forth the child. That's Israel. As soon as he was cast down, middle of the tribulation, the great tribulation ensues. And the devil starts going after God's people, Israel. Israel scurries for every kind of cover they can find. And the Bible says in verse 14, the woman were given two wings of a great eagle. That speaks back to what God said He did in Egyptian deliverance. He says, I carried you as on eagle's wings. He opened up the Red Sea and He did deliverance in a mighty hand. He killed the firstborn in Egypt and all that. And so this speaks to that. And it says that she might fly into the wilderness and in her place. And there she is, there it is again, nourished for a time. God says He's going to nourish, feed, what? Her faith. For 3.5 years, these people are going to get a clue. They're going to see Him whom they pierce. They're going to mourn as for their one and only Son. And they're going to come to a saving faith in King Jesus, the Messiah, their Messiah. And the Bible says she will be nourished, what? For a time, times, and half a time. Which I think is very important. Underline those words, because that reminds us back in Daniel when he says, seven sevens and all these things. These are different kind of ways of trying to depict something for you. A time, times, and half a time. 3.5 years. 1260 days. 42 months. God says it in every way He can. Why? Because we are slow of heart. We have a hard time seeing, so He uses sign language. A sign in heaven, Israel. Another sign in heaven, the devil. And the Bible says that He's going to deliver them from the face of the serpent in verse 14. Verse 15, and the serpent was cast out. Again, cast out. But he this time He's casting out water. And the Bible says water as a flood. Now, water usually in the Bible, you can see it as talking about the Holy Spirit. the water, washing of the water by the Word and the Holy Spirit. The Spirit works as a cleansing agent in our life for sanctification. But the fact of the matter is, the word flood has the idea of river. There's a flow. And he casts out of his mouth water as a flood after the woman, that he might cause her to be carried away by the flood. What this is actually saying, I believe, is I think what he's trying to tell us is that the devil is going to have a spirit of martial law, given anybody who kills a Christian, you're going to be rewarded. And everybody's going to be all about that, because bloodthirsty people are going to be on this earth. They're going to get high marks for bringing in one, you know. And so the whole thing seems to me to be a flood. And the Bible says in the next verse, the earth helped the woman. And I believe that's the multitude of the people who Jesus commends at the parting of the goats and the sheep, where he says they were naked and you clothed them. They were in prison and you visited them. They were sick and you ministered to them. And he's saying you're going to be blessed and you come into the kingdom and you get to go on in. So I believe the earth helped the woman means that they're going to be people. They're going to say, when would we do that? He says, inasmuch as you did to the least of my brethren, you did it unto me. The Bible says in verse 16, again, it says, and swallowed up the flood which the dragon cast out of his mouth. Just like in Rome, when people were willing to die for their faith, everybody said, I don't have anything to die for. And it turned on Caesar many times, and people were getting saved as they watched people give down their lives. Verse 17, the dragon was very angry with the woman, went to make war with the remnant of her seed, which keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus. Now, we've done a lot of thinking here today. Go back on the internet to find it. But what I want you to see at the end of this passage in verse 17 is that the Bible tells us that this woman had something very precious that you and I need to have. She, first of all, she kept the commandments of God. That does not mean that she perfectly executed them. Terao in the Greek means guarded, embraced, accepted, and kept an eye on. Now, folks, listen. Do not act in your mind's eye and in your heart. Do not think for a moment that you can act any way you want and you're okay with God. The Bible says the commandments of God are good. And because of Christ, we are set free to fulfill, to honor, and to establish the law. Not to do away with it in the sense of it's not important. It is important. Jesus satisfied the law for you and me. He lived it perfectly for you and me. So when we hear the law of God, we say yes and amen. And we take it and we lay it against our world and say, the Ten Commandments, especially and specifically, we can look at as a paradigm for all the others. We can say, this is the heart of God. He hates lying. He hates stealing. He hates adultery. He hates vanity of the mouth. He hates the idolatry of our day. He hates anything that will destroy your home. He hates it because it hurts people, folks. God is not withholding from you. He's trying to help you stay safe. You tell your children, don't play in the street, because you love them. God says, don't steal, don't covet, don't hate, don't hurt, don't kill. Don't do it. Why? Because He loves you. It will hurt you. So these people kept it. They said the law of God, and they saw it fulfilled in Jesus, it says, and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. These two things for them in the tribulation will be hand in glove for the first time. Children of Israel will know He is the fulfillment of the law to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Beloved, He's the fulfillment of the law for me. And if you know Him as your Savior, He is the fulfillment of the law for you. If you don't love that law, if you don't care about that law, if you kind of set that law aside, it says something about your core. I cannot judge your core, only you can. But beloved, let me tell you something. The Bible makes it very clear. My sheep hear my voice, and they follow me. Do you hear His voice? Are you following Him? These guys were, and God honored their efforts. He protected them, and they overcame the enemy through the blood of the Lamb, were their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto death.